Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you part 4 of a multi-part Lenten series entitled Through the Valley, with today's message specifically entitled Lament and Surrender, based off of Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. So let us dive into the Word today. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you keep watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." When he returned to them, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up. Let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." Amen. Jesus did not always love his options, and in the midst of lament, he still freely chose to surrender to God. Besides Sarah's packed car, her parents grappled with her sudden decision to move out. "We just want what's best for you," they said, their worry palpable in the furrow of their brows and the tremble in their voices. Sarah met their gaze, her own resolve tinged with uncertainty. "I know, Mom, Dad, but I need to do this. I need to find my own way." Reluctantly, her parents surrendered to her resolve, enveloping her in a tight embrace before she drove away. The gravel driveway echoed the crunch of the tires as Sarah's car disappeared down the road, leaving behind an empty space filled with the weight of their collective emotions. In the quiet that followed, Sarah's parents faced the reality of an empty nest. The once vibrant home now seemed hushed and still, the absence of their daughter's presence keenly felt in every corner. Yet amidst the sadness, there was also a glimmer of hope. They had raised Sarah to be independent, to chase her dreams with unwavering determination. And now, as they watched her embark on this new chapter of her life, they hoped they had done their job well. As the sun dipped below the horizon, casting long shadows across the driveway, Sarah's parents found solace in the knowledge that their daughter was strong and capable. And though they would miss her dearly, they knew that this surrender was not an end, but rather a beginning, a chance for Sarah to spread her wings and soar. Like the parents in the story I just shared, we all have situations that we wish could go a certain way, especially the kinds of painful situations that lead us to lament. It is hard to let go and give it up to God. As disciples, we are always going to be tempted by something easier, quicker, more aligned with our own desires, etc. Are there times when we have been helpful in someone else's process of letting go of something, or have we gotten in the way of their surrender? In this passage, we see how Jesus laments, cries out to God in prayer in the face of his impending suffering and death. Notice how, even for Jesus, coming to a place of surrendering to God's will is a process. First, Jesus acknowledges his grief and emotion, as we see in verses 38 through 39. Then he moves into negotiation, honestly bringing his fear and request before God, and then he finally surrenders. Now, if we take the biblical account, like, literally, you would think that Jesus' prayer lasted two sentences long, came back, found the disciples asleep within less than a minute. I mean, it doesn't, obviously, he prayed longer than just those two sentences. This was a long, agonizing prayer in the garden, long enough to cause the disciples to nod off and fall asleep. Jesus prayed the same prayer three times before he got to that point of surrender. So you're probably talking about hours of praying. It can take time. It's a process to be able to surrender. Lament can be a part of the process that gets us there. Jesus laments and ultimately surrenders to God's will. Lament and surrender do not cancel each other out. To surrender our lives and our situations to God does not mean we have to be cheerful or dismissive in the face of pain and sorrow. Jesus wasn't. As we grow closer to God's will, it becomes increasingly clear that the disciples are unable to support him in the way he had hoped and asked them to, as we saw in verses 40 through 41, verse 43, and verse 45. And there's much we can learn from this. First, Jesus laments and ultimately accepts the cup he must drink, but there's a secondary lament here too. Jesus laments his disciples' inability to stay awake with him and support him. Sometimes when we are going through deep difficulties, we are also disappointed by the inability or unwillingness of people to support us how we wish they would. It is okay to lament this lack of support as well. Ultimately, surrender is a strong, accepting choice we must each make for ourselves. And I want us to consider the lyrics to the folk hymn, Jesus Walked This Lonesome Valley. And this is found in The Faith We Sing. It's hymn number 2112. But anyway, Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by himself. We must walk this lonesome valley. We have to walk it by ourselves. Oh, nobody can walk it for us. We have to walk it by ourselves. You must go and stand your trials. You have to stand it by yourself. Oh, nobody else can stand it for you. You have to stand it by yourself. The disciples provide a contrast to Jesus. While they, specifically Peter, promised not to abandon him, and we can see that in chapter 26, verses 31 through 35, and they even promised to face death with him, they do not stay awake to support him in prayer. They fall asleep. They did not face the reality of the suffering Jesus was facing. But Jesus did face it, lamented, and surrendered. Let me ask you, do you find yourself more like Jesus or more like the disciples when you are facing suffering? And keep in mind this, their lack of understanding in this moment, their lack of urgency, if you will, is displayed in their lack of preparation when they're awakened to see Judas there kissing their master. And they're ready to go to war. They pull out their swords. And Jesus has already surrendered this situation to God. They have not. And we can see that in the way Jesus acts versus the way the disciples act. Let me quickly note, though Jesus was upset with his disciples for their lack of urgency, he also had compassion on them. He did not wake them the second time he found them, but he did wake them up when the time came for action. And finally, what kind of support did Jesus need in his time of trial? What would have it looked like for the disciples to stay awake with him? And for those of you who are not currently personally experiencing suffering, the message for you this week might be about how to support those who are in the midst of suffering and lament. Let's learn from where the disciples fell short. We have to be patient as we listen and walk with people. We have to do more than eagerly promise we'll be there for them. Again, see Matthew 26, verse 35, and then fail to follow through. We must actually stand in solidarity with them. Remember, we need to be honest in lament, as well as in responding to lament. And sometimes it's easier for us to jump in and try to solve others' problems or point out where we think they need to surrender. But again, surrender is a process. And often what is most needed is someone who stands alongside, stays awake to others' suffering, and laments along with them. We can't fix everything, but we can be there when things need to be fixed. And sometimes, rather than trying to fix something, we should just focus on being there. The end of this passage shows urgency. There's a new chapter. The experience will be very different from here forward. To move forward, there had to be a surrender. Surrendering, and this brings me back really, you know, again, to move forward, there had to be a surrender. And Jesus, he did that by freely choosing to accept a difficult thing. Just like the parents in the story I read at the beginning of the, or I told at the beginning of the, at the beginning of the message, just like those parents had to surrender letting their daughter go, Jesus had to surrender. And we too have to surrender. Surrendering to God may be for a reason that we don't have to have the ability to understand, at least in advance. Sometimes we are called to accept or freely choose the difficult thing before us to move forward, or to support others in their acceptance of the difficult thing before them. Our ability to surrender may change with age, experience, and wisdom. And we can learn from others' wisdom, but also trust that for us or others who may be struggling, it can feel impossible to let go. Again, I cannot stress enough the importance of our spiritual disciplines. Today in church, we participated in Holy Communion, a means of grace, along with the fact that we are actively worshiping together. And for Lent, practicing fasting from anything, not necessarily only food. Practice prayer, quiet, silence. We can all those things can ground people in the moment. And as we focus on either the future or the past, surrender becomes more difficult. Being grounded in the moment can help us move forward and move toward acceptance. I want to encourage you to practice surrender by surrendering some time and focus to God, by disconnecting from other things that distract and keep you bound. Friends, surrender is an important practice for us disciples as we learn to give more areas of our lives over to God. but the concept itself is frightening. What will God do with my surrender? What are the implications of such surrender? Let me remind you that with surrender comes freedom. Freedom to follow God fully, to become more of who God has created you to be. We've seen what Jesus did. As people who place ourselves under his lordship and individually seek to surrender better, how can we as leaders encourage the people in our church and in our lives to embrace the power of surrender, including not always trying to make it more easy or comfortable, which can be hard. We don't like to see people suffer. How can we get out of the way while remaining supportive? What and how we surrender can be different for different people and their circumstances. What does it look like for our church to surrender to God's will, even as we grieve and lament changes we don't like to see, conflicts, and painful situations? We are currently going through one now. A pastoral change is coming this July in our church, meaning that that means other things will change along with that. So I'm being appointed to a different church now, and a new pastor is coming to the church I'm currently serving at here in Newton. How are we going to respond to that? How can we surrender to what God has in store, even as those changes have us on edge? Perhaps we can be graceful toward each other even as we feel pressure and anxiety caving in on us. Perhaps we can communicate honestly with each other so that everyone has the benefit of context, knowing each other's heart and feelings. Perhaps we can learn to grieve together, to be honest about our feelings and honestly open to learning how others feel rather than seeing ourselves as the only ones with grief. Friends, together, we can surrender to Jesus and allow him to guide us from where we are to where he's calling us to be. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this time to be together, to be worshiping you. And we're just so grateful to have this message inspire and challenge us. Lord, lament is not easy, but it is a process that you have given us to help us move from where we are to where you are calling us to be. So help us to be a people who openly and honestly lament, so that we may be honest not only with ourselves, but with you, and move toward you in all things. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Friends, I just want to thank you for tuning in, as always, and I hope you got as much out of this as I got in putting into it. But always, I want to thank you for tuning in and remind you that we do have episode notes, so check those out, two of which lead to our giving page. If you can help support the ministry of First United Methodist Church of Newton, that would be awesome. We'd greatly appreciate it. Of course, if you're attending your own church, please do support them. They need it as much as we do, and if you can support us both, that would be awesome. But with that said, remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.